Harrison, and you're listening to Back Row. On today's show, we bring you an exclusive interview with Ray Mears from a very noisy building site. But first, our resident reviewers Hayley Danks and Ruth Goodchild continue summing up the cultural highlights of 2015.
Other cultural events that have happened. Hey, there's been so much theatre.
Oh,
and the great thing about the theatre this time, for me, is that, because, you know, I'm very in touch with the popularist way of thinking, as well as being in touch with the more obscure elements of London, so the great thing for me was there were some famous people in some very well-known plays.
Because I think it's so predictable to just use trained actors.
Oh, I know.
Why not... Why not instead?
I know it makes you feel nauseous.
I know.
Are you all right?
I think so.
I have some travel tablets.
Germs travel that far across a room?
You know, that's fine.
Really?
A sneeze that was sort of, it will only be a few inches from the face. And
right.
And
a baby?
Yeah.
They can be even further?
Even further.
Okay. So well, it should be okay.
You'll be fine.
Okay.
I do have the anti-nausea tablets, should you
okay,
wish for
them. Thank you. That's it. Well, thank you, my saviour, my guardian.
No worries.
What were we talking about?
The famous people of the play.
Yes. It's so predictable, isn't it, to just use trained actors.
Yeah.
So why not go crazy?
Yeah.
Use some celebrities. Maybe they're not even celebrity actors.
Hey.
Just use sports people.
Oh,
pop stars.
I love it when they do that.
Yes.
The more sort of low-key, the better in a way.
Exactly. So, for example, I remember when Madonna was in a play.
Oh,
do you remember that?
Yeah, that was great.
What was great was if you were in the balcony, you couldn't hear anything she said, which I thought was really refreshing.
I love that.
Yeah.
Again, you sort of have to work. So I remember on that occasion, you wrestled your way in the interval to to a front row seat.
That's correct.
Made someone move.
Exactly.
Who you felt wasn't really enjoying it and appreciating it anyway.
Exactly. And I did speak to the stage manager during the interval, and that's why Madonna was issued with a loud hailer for the second half.
And that was great.
It was great.
You were thinking of everyone there.
Because, you know, it didn't really go with the setting, but it was surprising. And what is theatre
if not surprising?
Exactly as it should be.
Yeah.
I didn't see any theatre this year because I found it all too pedestrian.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I looked for things to see, but I just thought pedestrian. There were no plays on the actual highway for me this year.
Oh, was it all devised just promenade, site-specific, or not even that?
Not even that.
Yeah.
You know, some of the plays that I was asked to review but refused were actually in theatres with a proscenium arch.
I'm so sorry. I know. Well, I sort of went ironically to the Old Vic to see the Crucible.
See, that's the only way to go, isn't
ironically.
It? I sit ironically in the seat.
Yeah.
Ironically. Yeah.
I did it. I bought my ticket ironically.
Yeah.
I bought
an
ice cream. Thanks a bloody lot.
Yeah. You know. There's your card, madam. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I sat there with a sort of ironic expression, which I think I managed to maintain throughout.
Yeah.
I mean, the interesting thing for me was that the main character, the loud chap, who was sort of a bit pushy in the play, I don't know, can't be bothered to remember his name, but you know the one, Proctor.
People can look it up.
Yeah,
people can look it up.
Yeah. And say he was some celebrity, as we were talking about, from Lord of the Rings.
Oh, right.
The sort of, the Hobbity stuff.
Okay.
And, see, I was interested because although he was playing a hobbit on film, in the play he was actually very tall.
Oh right.
Not
so he
tall.
Wasn't a hobbit in this.
He wasn't a hobbit.
Okay.
So I thought that was interesting. And he wasn't just normal height, he was actually quite tall and broad.
So that's showing quite a lot of range.
Yeah.
I can play hobbits or non hobbits.
That's exactly what I thought. So in terms of what you were saying to do with height earlier, actually this actor has managed to stretch up and stretch down.
Right. Interesting. I mean, presumably is that with the use of some sort of computer? Or is it just the force of acting?
Well, it was definitely the force of acting made him bigger in the play. And as a result, he merited his own bow.
Oh, wow.
Which was wonderful, because even though the women in the play had been working incredibly hard, it was great that he was given the respect for being a person from The Hobbit.
From the film.
And therefore, owning his own bow.
Yeah. It's all very well, going to drama school.
Yeah.
But are any of you ladies hobbits? I don't think so. I don't ruddy think so. So did you, by the end of the play, were you reacting unironically or was it still very much in an ironic aura?
There were some moments when I was unironic. I did actually have a moment of real surprise right at the end after the bow, mm-hmm. when a young chap, possibly not from the UK, ran across the stage to try and, I suppose, give this hobbity man a hug or whatnot, right. or get an autograph. A bouncer came and removed him. And for me, that was a beautiful moment of theatre and meant so much more than the entire play that I'd just seen.
Yeah, it was a bit of real life theatre.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, hey guys, this is what life's about. It's not about all these emotions and these complicated family relationships and these feelings about religion. And, you know,
what?
It's not about that.
What's
it's about
that?
A fan who's come from France, running across the stage. She's come
wanting
all that way.
Wanting a Hobbit's autograph.
Wanting a, yeah.
Which is great. I love the fact that...
It's actually beautiful.
It's a really beautiful moment. Well, that's what you wrote in your review. It's great that you made the review about that rather than the play.
Yeah, well, I just think, you know, everything's been said about The Crucible.
Why bother?
Why say, you? That's why I didn't...
You know what... You might as well just write, you know what happens in The Crucible.
Yeah.
If you like that, go and see it.
Yeah, I'm not glad it is... I mean, you know, you're paraphrasing, but that's essentially what I wrote.
Yeah.
Theatre. Yes. Now, Ruth, I understand you went to see Kate Bush.
Yes. Now, I'd never really heard of her. But to sum up for listeners, if you don't know who she is, she's just a sort of squeaky-voiced woman from the sort of 70s who wears a lot of white. So I didn't really understand. But everyone around me seemed to be enjoying all of the sort of shrieky stuff.
Yeah.
Rather a lot. I mean, I left before the end.
Yeah.
And she'd said specifically that she didn't want anyone filming it with their sort of smartphones.
Mm.
So I decided to buck that trend. And I took along, it wasn't a smartphone, I did stick to the rules, but I took along a chap with a full film unit. And film the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I was asked to leave, but I think that struggle of being asked to leave and the audience booing and
Kate Bush really added.
Kate Bush stopping her set for a while and being taken off and then crying and all that. Mm. I think that really, I think it enhanced the evening.
Yeah, well, I similarly, you know, for those audience members, they will remember that.
Exactly. They will never forget.
Yes. You know, that will have been the sort of turning point of the whole evening, the bit of drama, the real life drama.
It's all very well doing your songs about Wuthering Heights or whatever it is, but this was happening viscerally here and now.
Yeah, you know. This was actual Heights.
From
the floor.
Emotional heights, exactly.
I think it's wonderful that you did that, and, you know, it created such a brilliant vantage point for your review. You know, there weren't any other reviews written from sort of the prison area waiting room where one waits to see, you know, I don't know what did happen in the end, but I presume you just said to them, hey guys, you know who I am, goodbye.
Exactly, I was sort of bailed out.
Yeah. But lovely to write it from there.
Lovely, but it felt so real.
Yeah.
It felt so real and sort of gritty.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Most people, all the people writing their reviews are going to be at home in their sort of swish apartments.
Yes.
But here I was, just in this sort of cell.
Yeah.
They allow me to have my MacBook.
Yeah.
So that was one of my reviews of the year.
In terms of clicks, those clicks were off
bang,
the
bang,
scale.
Bang.
You
exactly.
know, you did so well there. I think between us, you know, we really reeled in the the readers.
Exactly.
This year.
So
and for me, that makes for a very successful 2014.
2014, the year in culture. If you had to choose your best moment of the year in culture, what would you choose?
I think my moment in culture that was best would be me sort of skipping through the field, thinking about some book I once read.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what it was. I just remember thinking, hey, yeah, I remember that bit in that book where
that girl was
in that field. And
yeah.
For me, that memory of that once read book, vague memory, you know, I was on my way back from a party. It had gone on into the morning. It was about 12 o'clock. o'clock, 12 p.m. I was skipping through a field. It was muddy, but I had my barber boots on, and you know, life was good. How about you?
My cultural moment of the year was just seeing Kate Bush sobbing, the mascara running down her cheeks. You know, I thought, and I've created that moment.
You've made an icon emotional.
Exactly. And doesn't that make me the greater icon?
Yes.
Yes.
And if you enjoyed those insights, you can catch Hayley Danks and Ruth Goodchild reviewing live on stage at Sketchy Characters on April the 1st at The Proud Archivist.
I'm here with Ray Mears, deep in the midst of this building site where you insisted that we meet. This is wonderful.
Absolutely, yes. This is, I feel, the urban jungle. Mm-hmm. And I've spent a lot of time working in woodlands.
Yes.
And they both have trees in, jungles and woodlands, and the urban aspect of it just helps.
Your TV programmes have been so inspiring to me throughout my life.
You're welcome.
I'm a bit of a sort of jet-setter, go-getter type, actually.
That's the sort of lifestyle that I sell with my my survival series of things. Yeah, the jet-setter, the get out there and just survive.
Yeah.
Sort of holiday.
Holiday survival.
Yes, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. And
my wife used to say any holiday with me was just a matter of surviving it, and you know, I took it on the chin.
Yeah. And you're currently in the divorce proceedings, or
not currently,
but
you know,
so
you always got to be ready just to get up and go at any moment, so
exactly, to escape that marriage at any
absolutely.
There's an interesting thing that you offer where you can pay for bushcraft survival.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is
bushcraft is what I teach, it's what I am, it's what I breathe, it's what I live, it's where I sleep. It's what I eat.
Literally?
Again, it's what I... Yeah, absolutely. Every time I say something, it is literal.
Wow, okay.
I sleep, I live bushcraft.
Because I heard that you actually, despite yourself and your wife owning quite a luxurious, you know...
Mansion. With a 200-acre estate off the back of it.
Yeah.
I live in the estate around the back of it.
Yeah.
I'm in the woods, I'm in the trees.
Oh, so you are actually in the house?
I mean, within the grounds of the house, yeah, but in the trees. I've also had...
Do you live in the trees?
Sometimes I've also built trees in the house as well. There's a little wood room I live in.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, thank you very much.
How does that work out in terms of damp and...
Well, we've managed to install something approaching the water cycle you'd find on the earth as a whole. So it does rain daily in there. Kind of sort of rainforest aesthetic, even though I call it sort of the woods room. So it, I always have the urge towards something more tropical than what's actually exists in my life. I've always had that yearning towards something greater, something more exotic. And I find myself trapped in the body of a sort of middle-aged sort of accountant who likes to go away on weekends and, you know, really get to know nature.
Yeah.
And I'm also trapped with that whole mentality inside that body.
Again, literally.
Again, literally, yes. Yeah.
When do you think you'll make your escape from the body?
I mean, to put a date on that is like saying, when is the next World Cup going to happen? I mean, you just can't do that sort of thing.
That's fair enough.
It'll happen when it happens.
I shouldn't have gone there.
To be frank, no, you shouldn't have done. But you did.
Okay.
And we're now beyond that point.
Okay, great.
This has turned against me, I can tell. I'm sorry.
No.
I'd like to reel it back in
all,
a bit and say,
all.
It's great to be here.
Oh, thank you so much.
Let's scrap everything we said so far and say hi. Yeah, I'm great.
Let's wipe the slate.
Please do.
So... I'm really interested. You're here today because we've been discussing Into the Woods.
Absolutely,
and
yes.
And obviously it was a phenomenal hit. You know,
huge hit, yes.
Stephen Sondheim is an absolute genius, considered, you know, the genius of musical theatre. And we'd really like to know your perspective on it as someone who has been into the woods and lived within the woods and come out of the woods again.
Well, I have to say the film does several things right.
Uh-huh.
First and foremost, Chris Pine is in it. And I think that is one of the best things that film ever did.
That is amazing.
I agree.
Are you saying that was intentional?
I'm saying it happened. I was there to observe it, and I loved it. That's got the Ray Mears five fingers of survival.
Oh, wow.
Which is, it's better than two thumbs up, let me tell you that much.
Well, yeah, it's better than a five-star review in The Guardian, no?
Whatever that is, yes, yeah.
Do you not read the papers?
I don't read the news, I make the news. It's the Ray Mears way. In the same way I don't watch television, I make television.
Again, literally, I presume you have a wooden television in your sitting room.
Absolutely. I mean, I do actually make television sets from wood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I also make sort of 3-part series every now and then as well.
Oh, both things.
Yeah, both.
So with the television sets out of wood, do you also make the electrical circuits all of that sort of thing that goes with it?
What would be the point if you just had a wooden TV set, television set that wasn't plugged in?
Like, you're right. But the reason I'm asking is because within your living room setup with the ecosystem, sorry, there's a bit of construction work.
Is that upsetting you? Absolutely not.
Okay.
No, I see buildings as just human nature.
Oh, that's
nature funny. That's made by humans.
Wow. Sorry, getting back to the point of the television set. So I'm just confused because if you've made a wooden TV set in your living room,
yes,
and your living room has the ecosystem of the outdoors, obviously, because you don't have
there's a roof, but otherwise nothing else would suggest it's indoors.
Yes. So is that quite risky with the television getting wet from the torrential rain, the tropical rain?
It can be.
Yeah.
However, I can build another TV set. Is the beauty of it. It takes me about a fortnight
to
whittle it away and hollow it out, but then you have it.
But what about all those programmes you've missed?
Well,
watch your own.
I make my own programmes. I live my own programmes.
Oh.
I don't need to watch them back. I assume everything I've done has been perfect, and therefore I don't need to watch it back. I don't need to bask in my own reflected glory that I'm reflecting onto myself, which I could have every right to claim as my own.
Yeah.
But I see it as the Ray Mears of 5 minutes ago is a different Ray Mears to the Ray Mears of now.
Oh, my God. So in this conversation, even...
I barely remember who you are or what I'm meant to be doing. I just know I'm here, I'm talking, I'm reviewing.
Amazing. And so we will get back to the review, but I'm interested in what you said just now about everything you do is... I can't remember your wording, correct? Or
it's perfect.
Perfect.
Perfect,
better
yes.
than correct. Perfect.
It's...
How does your wife live with that sort of person? You sound very arrogant.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I had something I do work towards, I do aim to achieve. I feel I have achieved it as
well. Yeah, well, you have.
Well, I appreciate that. It's very kind of you. I do have moments of modesty, of humility.
Right.
But they're very few and far between.
Are they when you're deep in the woodland forest for no one to observe but the owls?
Owls have seen me do so much I regret. But no one has yet come up with a feasible way of finding out what owls are talking about, so they can't report back on it.
Well, no one yet, but surely if anyone was to, that person would be you.
I have done it myself, and I'm not going to share the secrets of that, because I'd have too much to lose.
The respect of the owls? Or?
And of people, if I translate what they've seen. As long as they can't communicate that to people who I actually care about, then that's absolutely fine. But so the moment I tell people what animal, or owls, and animals in general are saying...
Yeah.
That's the moment I lose out and I have the most to lose. Which is why I'm going to take those secrets to my grave, to my wooden coffin that I've already found the tree for.
Yeah.
I will bury myself inside.
Inside the tree?
Inside the tree.
The coffin tree.
Coffin tree.
So you won't cut down the tree, you'll leave it standing upright in the coffin, you will be walking into it as if into a door.
It's a walk-in coffin. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great. Yeah. We have strayed a little from Into the Woods, but to be honest, the fact that you are able to converse with owls is so massive, I don't really feel we can just leave it there. I know you say you have moments of modesty, but this should not be one of those moments. What's the best conversation you've had with an owl, or is it one-sided? Is it you hearing them, or...?
The best conversation I've had so far with an owl was talking about the best tree bark you can obtain from an oak tree down by a river nearby.
Okay. To be honest, it's not sort of what I was hoping for. I was kind of hoping for, like, you know, the secrets of the universe.
What would owls know about the universe is my question there.
A hell of a lot. They have a good vantage point. They've seen a lot of it.
They've seen a lot of Earth. I'm not sure they've seen a huge amount of the universe. But I can appreciate where you're coming from.
Yeah, good.
And I can therefore classify you as someone who is wrong in this instance.
So sorry to repeat myself, but I can't imagine what it must be like being married to you. What is your wife like?
She's really nice. She gives me all the time I need.
Uh-huh.
She's actually, she looks after my children from my first marriage. It's just, she's a great person. I'm lucky to have her. And to be honest, I should try harder to make our relationship work better than it currently does. I'm a very emotionally distant man. I'm a very woody sort of guy. very adventurous spirit, and I think I need to, at times I need to ground myself a bit more and just be there in that, that relationship.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I can talk to owls.
Well, good point. And, you know, what's not to love about that? Now, you mentioned your children. I'm interested to know, did your children attend Woodcraft Folk? That's my main question about your children.
They didn't have a choice.
Okay.
Every toy they had growing up was one they whittled themselves from branches I picked out and found for them in the woods.
Yeah.
And they like it. Sure, one of them now works in new media. The other one works at Starbucks. He's a store manager and he's doing okay for himself. But they still retain their love of woodlore and bushcraft in general. And I feel very proud of that as a father.
Well, I actually spoke to Matthew, who currently works in Starbucks, when I was in getting a Starbucks. Mm. And he said that he used to be horribly bullied at school for bringing in these wooden toys, cycling on a wooden bike, you know, with wooden spokes. There was injuries, there was a lot of heartbreak, wooden Nike trainers.
In my defence, I said he shouldn't have taken that stuff into school with him. It was mainly for at home. He broke the rules and he paid the price socially for that. I don't want to say I regret what I did in this instance, because I've got a lot riding on always being right. However, choices were made that may not have been the best choices with hindsight, but in the time, they were absolutely fine.
Oh, that's a very strange way of...
I disagree entirely. I think that's the best way of expressing it.
That's the worst non-apology...
Who said I was apologising? I regret nothing. However, choices were made in the past, which with hindsight would seem not to be the best choice, but at the time were positively spot on.
Right, okay. And are there any choices that you made in the past that with hindsight... not spot on, that you regret other than that?
I went on Desert Island Discs at the start of 2014. I'm sat down next to the lady who does that program.
Yeah.
I say I, I'm of course talking about a previous version of myself.
Of course, it's always an ongoing
development.
It is.
I'm constantly evolving, upgrading, getting better.
Yeah.
I was there. One of my songs, song number 3, in between Jumping Jack Flash.
Oh, yeah. Good choice.
Thank you very much.
Still stands up.
Hey Jude.
Brilliant choice.
That was the other bookmark to it. Between those two, I went for Secret Smile by Semisonic.
Mm.
Nobody knows it, but you've got a secret smile and you use it only for me.
Mm-hmm.
Being one of the main, if not only, lyrics in that song. And
but you've got a secret smile. It's actually alluding to...
a woman's vagina.
I never knew that.
Nor did I, until I was there singing it at a woodland karaoke. All the voles... were laughing at me.
Shit.
There were polecats in hysterics. There were 3 otters who will not speak to me. I offended them and their ottery culture.
I didn't know that animals were so prudish when it comes to sexual and body part.
It's
interesting, isn't it? Because they go around naked. Otters are very affectionate. So their ottery culture doesn't approve of mention of vaginas? It seems a bit patriarchal.
In a way, it is. I feel like we are generalising at this point. I think in particular it was just those 3 otters. There were a couple
that's
of...
That's a really good point.
It's all right. I don't want to besmirch the whole otter community by basing it on these 3 otters who were just prudish. That's a good word for it.
Mm-hmm.
Rudish. Another good word for it. I was being prudish.
Yeah.
And I think the whole situation
was a little
weird, if I'm honest.
I think you're right. So
good, because I think I'm right as well.
But in retrospect, I may not think you're as right as I did when I listened to this back.
That's the beauty and power of hindsight. Back to Into the Woods briefly.
Back to Into the Woods.
One thing it didn't do so well, Emily Blunt. Now, if you're in the woods, you don't want something blunt. You want something sharp.
Yeah, is that really your main objection? You know, this is a work of genius.
There was also magic beans and the like, but my main objection is Emily Blunt. Emily Sharp, much more useful in the woods.
Who is Emily Sharp?
I don't know, that's not for me to decide.
Okay.
This reviewer would just prefer it if they cast the right people for the job.
Yeah. Was there anyone else that your dream cast would he...
Woody Harrelson,
yeah.
Woody Allen, Woody from Toy Story.
Yeah.
The 3 Woodies.
They would make an amazing trio, didn't they? Trio.
I'm sorry?
They... Though, well, I'm just saying, those three would make an amazing trio of Woodies.
I have to say, you are operating on a higher plane right now. That's fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I think Imelda Staunton would be a very good in any Wood-related production.
Yeah, okay.
And she's very talented.
Mm, yeah, yeah, yeah. And...
Thora Birch.
Oh, of course. Anyone else?
Colin Hanks. Yeah, I like him. I think he's great.
Great.
Jack Blackbird.
Again, someone that we've yet to meet.
I think if Jack Black added bird onto the end of his name,
he's in. Oh, okay, I understand. Holly Willoughby?
Absolutely, yes.
Good.
Because that's two trees.
Yes.
Holly and the willow. And a bee. She is the embodiment of nature. I've always thought that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm surprised that her name didn't pop into my mind immediately, but I've always thought she just embodies what I'm all about.
Oh, really?
Absolutely, yeah. I love ice skating.
Do you love daytime television?
As well, yeah.
As well as ice skating?
I imagine I would. As I said earlier, I don't watch TV, I make it. 3-part miniseries at a time.
Yeah.
But I think what I'm told that she's done in that medium is fantastic.
You're not wrong. And well, obviously, we've established. There's another train going by here. What do you think of trains? Do they intimidate you, or do you
feel they do. I think the progress of technology and transportation...
You have to speak up a bit, Raymond.
I apologise. I don't actually apologise. It's a reflex I really wish I didn't have. I think trains and transportation and automobiles and buses and all that technological advancement of movement of people, transport, if you will. I mean, I did say
I
it
will.
Earlier. Oh, brilliant, right. This will make it go a lot quicker then. Transportation is really, it's encroaching on what I believe. I remember as a young man when I was just tracking foxes in the woods around the back of my parents' house.
Yeah.
I could only go so far before I hit the M25. And that's a road. And that road is used for cars and other sort of wheeled vehicles to travel along. And I guess in many ways, trains are like cars if tracks are like roads. Basically, if they have to knock down a forest to build a road or train tracks or a new runway or a terminal building or a ferry port or a hovercraft station or a dog walking clinic, then I'm against it.
I'm against it, yes. But I mean...
Especially the dog walking clinics.
Really?
Yes.
Dog walking clinics are interesting, aren't they? Because you're not talking about a vet, clinic.
No.
Actual just places where you walk a dog around and around a small room.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, I think a couple of issues with this. A is dogs are domesticated animals, so therefore I think they should be eradicated.
Oh, hang on.
They're domesticated, they should be wild.
Well, it's not their fault that they were tamed.
Well, that's why I don't have any remorse about extincting them.
That doesn't make sense. You don't have any remorse because it's not their fault.
Yeah, precisely. So, you know,
cruel.
I don't have to regret any of their actions. They've not done anything wrong. So therefore they are not agents in this at all. They have no agency.
Yeah.
Therefore
they're
I can do what I want to them. That's how it works.
That's an awful way to live, if you don't mind me saying.
I don't mind you saying.
Thanks. Great. So yeah, trains. Okay.
Trains.
Planes and automobiles. I mean, you actually own a private jet. How do you justify that? In relation to what you've just been saying?
It's entirely made of wood and I never fly it anywhere.
Fair enough.
Although if I could move on to my review of planes, trains and automobiles.
If you could remove
if on? If I could move
oh,
on
yeah,
to
yeah,
it.
Of course, yeah,
just,
yeah, yeah.
It's a seasonal classic. Appreciated that this may not be the season for it. However, I think it's a very good film.
Mm-hmm.
Something it does right. John Candy. Always good to have some sort of sugary snack with you when you're out and about in the woods.
Much like John Kendall Mintcake.
John Kendall Mintcake is one of the finest people I've yet to meet. I think as well, Steve Martin, as one of the more elusive species of Pine Martin, is a very good casting choice as well, in that I think he does great in it. However, planes, trains and automobiles themselves, I do not care for. And the fact that film shows their power over humanity is not something I stand for or agree with. So despite the positive casting,
yeah,
it's my five fingers of survival pointing downwards for that film.
All five downwards?
All five fingers of survival.
That's
downwards.
That's unheard of.
It's not quite formed into a fist, but it's still not great.
That's not great at all.
No.
And how, well, actually, this next point is irrelevant. I was going to ask how you'd compare it with Into the Woods, but it seems you feel the opposite, basically, about it.
Weirdly, I prefer it. I think it's so bad, I actually enjoy it. I review things critically.
Yeah.
I appreciate them critically.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy things critically. And I get a lot more enjoyment from Planes, Trains and Automobiles than from Into the Woods.
Yeah.
And I don't want to lay all the blame at the feet of James Corden, but someone once cordoned off a wood that I wanted to go into, and I can't help but feel he was responsible for that. There was a nice Meryl Streep of land I was going to explore, and I never had the chance to.
I just want to return briefly to a point you said earlier. I'm just really fascinated by this whole thing of you make TV, but you don't... Sorry, there's a construction worker.
I hired him to be here.
Oh, did you?
Yes, his name's Kevin Dolaris.
Yeah.
He's a good friend of mine.
Uh-huh.
He helped me build my house.
Right.
And I hire him whenever I can.
Just to be nearby, building
things? To be nearby.
Things. I mean, he's not actually banging one bit of metal against another bit of metal.
He is. Neither of which are his own bits of metal. He's stolen those off of a building site somewhere and is just banging them together. He's very resourceful. I appreciate that. I often think metal poles are like the branches and twigs and bits of wood.
Yeah.
That you find in the forest, but just in the urban forest, the urban woods, the urban jungle that we're currently residing in.
It seems to me mm-hmm. that you have a huge amount of contradictions within you because...
Name two of them.
Well, just that point that you just made. I mean, you appreciate the urban jungle. You appreciate metalwork, the things that humans build.
I love it.
You love it, but equally you hate it when new roads are built and... walking clinics are prioritised,
They're made from tarmac. Metal, I think, is a very, very pure, organic, natural substance.
Oh, okay, that makes total sense. Now I understand. I understand now. And the other thing is, you make TV. You literally make a TV set.
I make a television set, usually once every few weeks or so, because the old one gets damped.
Yeah, exactly. But you don't watch it. I find that bizarre and contradictory. Why would you build it?
Why would I watch a wooden box that's not an actual TV, just looks like a TV?
But you have the
it's all plugged into the mains. But the mains are made from wood and none of it works properly.
Oh,
what I have resembles what everyone else has, but it doesn't work and it's nowhere near as good as the real thing.
Then why have it?
I know nothing else.
Ray Mears, it's been quite incredible. It's been like a journey talking to you. A journey through the forests, the human forest and the actual forest. Was there anything else you wanted to add before we wrap up?
Yes, my new series, Survival with Ray Mears, is on ITV this coming Wednesday.
Oh, fantastic. And can we expect a glimpse into your home?
Yeah, it's all set in my wood room.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Susan Harrison's Back Row featuring Gemma Arrowsmith and Rhys Collier. We'll be back for episode 10 with some very, very, very special guests. Okay, bye. See you next time. Bye. Okay, bye now.